card, and everybody's telling me happy birthday.
Well, they tell me it's birthday month.
Oh, okay. Fine with me.
I'm ready. Good evening. Everybody staying warm? Kind of hard, isn't it? Catherine pulled up this little thing off the computer, said, "I'm not made for winter." I think that's me. My skin's too thin now. I'm going to give you a prayer request off of our bulletin, and we'll see if anyone else has a prayer request. I want to talk to you tonight about prayer, about something I feel like we're come up short in. I've mentioned this quite a bit in Sunday school, is praying for one another. I think we fall short in praying for one another like we should. So I want to talk to you out of Colossians, if you want to go ahead and find it. Colossians chapter 1. I want to show you what Paul said to the church at Colossae about praying for one another. I think it's a little bit unusual. The church at Colossae is not one of the churches that Paul founded. He received word that the church at Colossae, that evidently it was started by some of his people that he had won on one of his missionary journeys. He found out, sent word to him that the church had problems, they were going through some problems. So he addressed, the very first thing he addressed in chapter 1 is about not praying for one another like they should. So I want to give you a little outline of that. This may not take very long tonight because I didn't get very much warning about this. I like to prepare about a week ahead. And the pastor called me about almost lunchtime today and said he wasn't going to be able to be here and asked me if I would do this. So I've been looking at this, so it kind of worked out for me. I think if the Lord will allow me tonight to get you to think about. I'm not into New Year's resolutions. I mentioned this in class. I guess I don't make them because I figure I can't keep them anyway, so I'm better off not making them than making them and not keeping them. But I do try to set some goals. I think it's a good idea for us as Christians to set some goals because it helps you, because when you achieve something on your list or your goal, well, you can mark it off, and you know, it makes you feel pretty good to accomplish something, whatever it might be. So one of my goals for this year is to pray for people like I should. The Bible tells us about self-examination. We're not supposed to examine our neighbors, we are supposed to examine ourselves. And I felt like maybe that was one of my shortcomings, was not praying like I should. I mean, I do it, but I'm sure I could do a lot more. So I encourage you tonight. I hope that you'll see this and understand this, the importance of praying for one another. I told the class Sunday, I said, people need your prayers and you need to practice. So I think that works out pretty good for both. For who you're praying for and for you also. It's hard to pray for somebody, earnestly pray for somebody, if you're not right with God yourself. A lot of times we end up having to pray for ourselves before we can pray. pray for somebody else, which I think is a good thing, because we need to be right with him this day and time, because you don't know when that trumpet's going to sound. You want to be ready. You don't want to have a lot of prayers that you had, a lot of things you hadn't confessed. You want to be caught up. You want to be ready to meet him. Because you don't want to meet him with a bunch of stuff you hadn't confessed. You want to be clean. You want to be ready. So let's look at that tonight. In our prayer list, we have our children's home, staff and children. I've been associated with that home for about 50 years. And I understand a little bit. I've never been a house parent. I couldn't. You're not allowed to kill them. I couldn't. I don't think I can be a house parent. The house parents over there need our prayers. Miss Lucille, please pray for her. She's not doing well. She's out in Dallas at assisted living, a therapy place. But the problem is the therapy hurts her, and she doesn't realize that it's helping her. All she knows is it hurts, and she don't want to do it. Which, you know, you can kind of understand that, I guess, but they're having a hard time getting her to do the therapy that she needs on her hip. So please remember Miss Lucille. DJ, please remember her. Nancy Farmer, she fell and hurt her back. So please.
Nancy's doing better.
Is she?
Yeah.
I had
talked to her yesterday.
Please remember Miss Nancy. Diane Ely with her back surgery. Jim Jr., Jim Daly, he's waiting surgery on his foot. I don't understand what's going on with him, because it's been 3 months since he hurt it, and he still hasn't got his surgery.
Workman's comp.
Yeah, it's set up for March. I don't understand the delay. I don't understand that. I'm probably looking for another doctor. I don't know. But please remember him. Leonard and Lois Palmer, remember them. Jack Furr, Barbara Furr, James and Shirley Townsend, Claudia Darby, Harold Off, Don and Carla Rich, Connie Norton, the Dalys and Ashworth, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Miss Emily McCrooker. Please remember her. Let me encourage you to phone call her. Card or something to Miss Emily. Joyce Manning, of course, our service people, James Tolan Brown, our Marine, Kevin Brock at Champion College, Jamie Carden in the Air Force. So please remember these. The cards of these service members wouldn't be a bad idea either. Having been there, when you always go mail call hoping you'll get something. Kind of disappointing when you're in the service and you go mail call and you don't get anything. Sending them a card wouldn't be a bad thing to do either. All right, anyone else have a prayer request? No? Right. So what's your name?
L-O-R-I, Lori.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know her name.
Bonnie Carmichael, in the hospital with William Pneumonia. Now she's having some heart problems, and they've asked to pray for her.
Wow. Most of it made it. I don't know. Somebody was here when they were here, I'm sure, but some of them are not. Jim is really bad. He's basically bedridden. Can't really do anything for himself. And she's taking care of him, and now she's not able to take care of herself. So please pray for them.
Gina, their daughter's taking care of both of them and her husband.
Yeah.
Her husband's not going to be.
Yeah. All right.
I just wanted to say thank you for your guys' prayers. Well, my mom's is doing a lot better. She's on a physical care.
Anyone?
I'm still on, Miss Lucy that's in our class. Her son's at Paul Memorial Hospital with some kind of heart problem, but I didn't ask her which son it was. I messaged her today. She mentioned to me back and said that he was in the hospital, that they decided they need to do a stent and what they need to do. They don't know yet.
All right.
So I told her I'd ask prayer.
I have a prayer of praise. My cousin was battling colon cancer for about 6 or 7 months. She texted me today and said she was cancer free.
Anyone else? All right. Pray if you want to come down to the altar and pray, or if you want to pray where you're at, either way. We'll be talking about prayer tonight, so let's remember all these requests that we've just been made known to you. Not just for tonight, but every day. Please make these people a matter of prayer.
All right, tonight we're going to do Glory to His Name, a.k.a. Down in I'll have to bear with you a little bit. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm going to up the tempo a little bit, and I want everybody to stand whenever I'm doing a little different style from the way I usually do it. Kind of new to me, too, so I hope it works out. I believe it will. Let me see if that works. And talks about basically praising the Lord for saving our souls. That's one of those things I think we take for granted, is that we have His Holy Spirit in our hearts. We're able to be guided and led by Him and bring others to Christ, as well as go to heaven. And there's so many things that we take for granted, and I think that's one of them. And so we're going to just praise the Lord tonight. Everybody stand, if you will. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am the one that sleeps safe from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in, glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saved from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saved me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. I am the path where He sailed upright. Glory to His name. Come to the fountain so rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to the heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
All right, Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, starting in verse number 1. The amazing thing about this to me, as I said, this is not one of Paul's churches that he founded. As far as we know, he never went to Colossae. So this is, he heard about a problem they was having, and he, of course, he's in prison at this time. It's written about AD 60. He's in prison, as he is with the other epistles. But he writes this to this church because he's concerned about what he has heard is happening in the church. But look in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Look at that. Especially that last phrase. Look what he says. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul realized what he was doing. And we're gonna mention, we're going to go back to that. But it talks about the will of God. Being in the will of God. When we're saved, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God gives us the ability, we call them gifts. God gives us, each one of us, the ability to do something for Him that will bring Him glory. And that's really why we're saved. You know, people say, well, we're saved, keep them going to hell. Well, that's true. But really, we're saved to do something for Him, to do something that will bring Him honor and glory. So Paul says here, by the will of God. I do what I'm doing because it's God's will. If you know what God's will for your life is, it's more than just knowing what the will is. You have to do it. It's not just knowing's not going to do you anything. Not going to do anything. But you have to do what His will is. You have to find the will of God for your life. And then you have to do it. But Paul says, by the will of God, and Timotheus or Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. So this is written, this is a letter that was written to the church there at Colossae. It's written to Christians. It's written not only to the church there at Colossae, but it's written for us today. Because there's some things in this that we can learn. There's some things in this that we need to learn. He says to the church there at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a introduction that he makes in a lot of his books. And I like what he says. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What an introduction. What an introduction to start a letter off in this fashion. Look down in verse number, let me just give you a little outline I found, and then we'll read some verses that backs us up. The very first thing he mentions in here is about understanding God's will. Understanding God's will for your life. He prayed for the church there at Colossae that they would understand, that God would give them understanding, that they would know what their will for God was for their life. And then that not only would they find out what the will of God is for their life, then they would find it, then they would do it. The second thing he mentions is that they would gain spiritual wisdom. Gain spiritual wisdom. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon, when he became king, he was just a child. He wasn't very old. He was just a child. He was David's son, Solomon. When David knew he was fixed to leave this world, well, he had a long talk with Solomon about what he expected him to do as the king. Solomon's going to be the king now. David's gone. Solomon's going to be the king. And God told Solomon, he said, what can I do for you? What do you want me to do? He could have said fame. He could have said riches. He could have said anything. God would probably like. But what did he ask for? What did he ask God for? Wisdom. He said, I need your wisdom. If I'm going to be the king, if I'm going to lead your people, and I need your wisdom. Obviously, Solomon had a little bit of wisdom to start with, didn't he? Because he knew enough about it to ask God for wisdom. And because he asked God for that, God granted that to him. He became known as the wisest man that ever lived, maybe. Because of how he conducted himself. Because of the good that he, God gave him the wisdom to do what he needed to do. The third thing is he prayed for was for them was peace and honoring God. Maybe that's another one of our goals we need to set. A lot of times we have a long list of things we ask God for. I do. I have quite a list. It's growing. Of things, of people that I'm praying for, things that I know we need. Things for our country, things for our president, things. And it's a long list of things that I pray for every day. But one of the things maybe we come up short in, we give God our prayer list, we give him our long list, but we don't never praise him. We don't ever show thankfulness, right? And we'll get into that one. We're not thankful like we should be. A lot of times we'll ask God to do something for us, and he will do it, and we don't ever even thank him for it. I think about the lepers, 10 lepers that had a dreaded disease, a terrible disease. 10 of them. God healed all 10 of them. Only one came back to thank him. The other 9 just disappeared. One come back to thank him. I've got a book at home. I didn't look this one up, but it's about ratios. I wonder if 1 out of 10 is a proper ratio. I wonder if only 1 out of 10 are thankful like we should be. 1 out of 10 is not a very good ratio, is it? Don't be an unthankful person. Try to thank God every day. We could make a long list of what God does for us every day. Be a thankful person. Thank him for what he does for you. Honor him. Number 4, Paul prayed that they would be kind to one another. Kind to one another. Helping one another. When we see, especially when we see somebody going through a hard time, whatever it might be, a kind word, a phone call, an email, whatever you do to that person, no telling that, what it would mean to them when they're going through something. So we need to be, not only do they say these people in Colossae need to be kind to one another, we need to be kind to one another. Do everything we can to be an encouragement to one another, to be of help to one another. Number 5, know more about God. Know more about God. Paul says to the church there, you need to know God. How do we know God? By studying and reading his word. By having conversations with him. A lot of times, our conversations with God are one-sided. The only way to the talking. We don't stop and be quiet and be still and let him speak to us. It's a two-way deal, a two-way conversation. Give him time to speak to us. Number 6, be filled with God's strength. We need God's strength. The generation you and I live in is getting worse every day. That's scripture. It's going to get worse because we're in the last of the last days. We need, if we're going to survive, if we're going to make it, we need God's strength. Paul prayed for the church there that they would have God's strength. The next one, number 7, endure in faith. What are some of the definitions of faith? I looked up faith. We're talking about faith. What does that mean? Faithfulness, confident hope. I like that one. Confident hope. Absolute trust. How about that one? Absolute trust. The definition of faith. Absolute trust. Our trust, our faith is in Him. It's not in ourselves. It's not of anything we can do. It's putting our faith, our trust, our absolute trust, our confidence in Him. Because He will do what He said He will do. Look in the Old Testament, even part of the New Testament, of all the prophecies. The Bible is full. Just about every book in the Bible has prophecies in it. Most of them have already been fulfilled. Not all of them. Most of them have already been fulfilled. Use a little logic. If He has fulfilled, let's say 90% of them, that may be close. Let's say 90% of the prophecies in the Bible have already been fulfilled. That should tell us if He's fulfilled those 90, He will certainly fulfill the other 10%. We can believe that. We can trust that. That's what a trust is. And believing He will do what He says He will do. And He will. He has to. He's God. He's holy God. He has to do what He said He would do. And that confidence, that faith, that absolute faith in Him, trust in Him, believing that He is who He said He is, believing that He will do what He said He will do. Endure faith. Paul in his writings likens the Christian life as a sporting event, a race. You're not going to believe this, but when I was younger and 100 pounds less than what I am now, I used to run a little bit and race. School, in high school. I was on the track team. I run some. I know I don't look like it now, but I did then. But one of the main things the coach taught us, don't pay any attention to who's running beside you. Don't pay any attention to who's in the stands. Don't pay any attention to anything except the finish line. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Folks, we're close to the finish line. We're almost there, I believe. We hear of people, we know of people, we've seen people that have given up. They have quit the race. They have given up. Don't ever quit. I don't know about you. I want to finish. I want to finish strong. I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to quit in the middle of the race. I want to run this thing to the end. I may not win, but I want to be the winner. I want to cross the finish line. The next one he gives us, stay full of Christ's joy. Christian should be the most joyful people in the world because of what we have ahead of us, because we know the end of the race. We know where we're going. We know a little bit about what He has for us. I don't think we can understand it at all. I think we're given a glorified body because this old body couldn't take it. We about wore this out anyway. We need a new glorified body. Well, we don't even, the Bible doesn't give us much. It gives us some. I want that. But we're supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to look like we have something that other people don't have. And most of the time, we spend our time looking like we just lost our best friend. We need to be joyful because we know where we're going. We know what God, a little bit about what God has for us as His children. Number 9, my last one. Always be thankful. Always be thankful. Let me give you a little something on that I found today when I was looking at this. There's 5 things that we can always be thankful for. Five things. I want you to think about these things. Number 1, we can be thankful that God answers our prayers. Be thankful that God answers our prayers. I think, personally, that God answers all of our prayers. Knows an answer too. Later is an answer too. God knows more about this thing than we do. I testified to the fact, and it's a true fact. I have prayed for things, I've asked God to do things, later on I realized I sure am glad he didn't answer that, because it wasn't the best thing for me. I'm glad that's a strange thing to say, but I've prayed some prayers that I'm glad God didn't answer. God knew more than I did. He knew what was best for me, and I didn't at the time. But he always answers our prayers, and we need to be thankful. Number 2, we can be thankful for God's provision for our needs. Not necessarily our wants, but our needs. Thankful for His provision. Thankful for what He does for us. Thankful for what He does for us every day. Every day. Does things for us we don't even think about them sometimes. Number 3, be thankful for God's blessings. I think about when I think about the blessings of God. I think about, number 1, I think about His love. He loves you. He loves me. He loves you enough to die for you, to pay the ultimate sacrifice. He loves you that much. We don't really understand that, I don't believe. Being thankful for His grace. Be thankful for His mercy. Those are 2 different things. They're lumped together a lot, but they're 2 different things. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. So be thankful for His love, for His mercy, and for His grace. Don't ever be a type of person that doesn't show thankfulness to Him because of what He does for us. Number 4, we can be thankful for God's character, for His wondrous works. Think about all that He does. about the character of God. Think about who he is. Think of that Peter that asked Jesus, what's God like? What's God like? And Jesus' answer was, I've been with you all this time, and you don't know me. In other words, what Jesus is saying, I'm God. It's me. It's me. I'm God. For God's character. Get this, it's number four, I guess. Satisfaction with what you have. Think about that. Satisfaction for what you have. I think maybe it's human nature, I don't know. We're never satisfied with what we have. We always want more. We always want something else. I was thinking about this, I guess a week or two ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago. The lottery was over $1 billion. I couldn't even think that much. Over $1 billion. And I thought, well, if I won that lottery, I could help a lot of people. I could do a lot of good. Of course, I wouldn't win the lottery because I don't buy tickets. But you think about that. Think about being satisfied with where you are. Let me say this about that. When God chose you, when he picked you to save, he knew what he was getting. Get it? He knew all about you. He knew what he was getting. He knew what you would be like. He knew what you would do. He knew it. He knows us. He knows everything about us. I said this one time, and I got in trouble with it. I'll say it again, I guess. He knows so much about us, he knows how many hairs you have on your head, whether they're real or not. That's where I got in trouble. But he has to keep up with this, because mine's, he's got two or three accountants keeping up with the hairs on my head, because they all falling out. Well, they're not falling out, they're all turning loose. But he knows that. Can you imagine that? That God knows us so well. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. I know, I think I got about six up here left. But he knows that. Number five. Think about this one. We can be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can be thankful for each other. I don't know how you would make it if we didn't have our brothers and sisters in Christ to help us. To point when we make mistakes, to point out to us, you don't need to do that. You don't need to be involved in that. Having somebody that loves you that much, that's not afraid to point out your mistakes to you. All of us need somebody in our lives that's not afraid to do that. When we go the wrong way sometimes, we need somebody to tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, idiot, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to be involved in that. You're not supposed to go that way. We need somebody like that. Somebody to encourage us, especially when we're going through things. It's not pleasant. And all of us have to go through things. All of us do. But it helps to have somebody that you know that cares about you, you know that cares about what you're going through, that knows, that cares about you, that prays for you, that tries to be an encouragement to you. We all need that type of people in our lives. So be thankful for our brethren and sisters in Christ. Let me read these verses that covers all these things. probably should have read them first, but that's okay. Back to Colossians. I read the first three, which is just an introduction. Look at verse number 9. This is what he actually wrote to the church at Colossae. And what, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote to us today, not just to the church at Colossae. Verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day you heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Paul and Timothy, Paul says, "We're praying for you." He had heard about a problem they were having in their church. First thing he said to them is, "We don't cease to pray for you. We're praying for you." And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What a prayer. This is what he's praying for this church. This is what he's praying for us today. I don't know about you, but the more I read, the more I study about God, the more I love him. The more I read and study, the more knowledge I gain about him, the more I love him. The more I study about what he did for each one of us, the more I love him. The more I desire to honor him, to praise him, to do whatever I can do to bring him honor and glory. Somebody said, wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I need to read that again, if I can. I'll try. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That was Paul's prayer for this church. That's a prayer for us today, that we would walk worthy. I don't know about you, I've said this a lot, my class knows that, I've said it a lot, I'll probably keep saying it. I care about what God thinks about me. I want to please him. My desire is to please him. When I do something that I shouldn't do, and I do, I make mistakes, I sin just like everybody else does. It bothers me. I hope it never quits bothering me. I hope it never stops bothering me when I do something I know is not pleasing to God. My desire is that it would never, never stop. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Look what he says. With patience. That's probably one of the hardest things for us to do, is be patient. One of the hardest things to do, I miss being faithful, and I miss being forthright with you, telling it just like it is to me. I have a problem sometimes being patient with God. That's tough. Because when I desire him, I'm like everybody else. When I want him to do something, when I pray and ask him to do something, I want it done right then. But as we said a while ago, later is also an answer. lot of times we don't grasp or don't understand the timing of God. We don't get it. We don't understand it. But he knows best. He knows when the timing is right. He knows what's best for us. He knows what the timing should be. So what does he say? With patience and long suffering. Patience and long suffering. With joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. What he has for us as his children. What's in store for us when we get to heaven? We don't know. We know a little bit. We don't have any idea really. What God has for us as his children. We just studied the book of John in our class, talking about as a child of God, we're adopted into his family. Even here in Georgia, when you adopt a child into your family, that child has the same legal rights as your natural children have. They're just as much your child when you adopt them as your legal children are. We are adopted into the family of God. We are joint heirs. You say, well, what will we have? Whatever Jesus has. Whatever he has, because we are joint heirs with him. We are children of God. We have everything he has. Whatever that is. I don't know, but I know just as much about it. It'll be good. It'll be better than anything we could ever think, anything we could ever imagine. What he has in store for us. Hold up. I am through. Anybody got anything?
Let's remember Alex and Max and Williams, Redmond and Pam.
I can't hear you, I'm sorry.
Alex and Max and Williams, Redmond and Pam. She's been her
parents. Remember, I didn't mention Lily. Continue to pray for her. Good to see her Sunday, wasn't it? And it was a blessing to see her walk in here. Tall. She's tall now. She says she's 2 inches taller than she was. Got her back straightened out, and now she's 2 inches taller. And also, remember Justin, he's got, I guess it's a stomach virus or something that he's had the last couple of days. So I didn't mention him either, so please, I'll be in trouble. I didn't even mention him. So please, please pray for our pastor. He'll be able to be back doing what he needs to be doing Sunday. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege. It's fun to study your word together. I hope that something was said that will be an encouragement to someone here today. We pray for all the requests that's been made known again. We just ask you to be real to each one. Do what only you can do, and that's to touch and to heal. We pray for our services Sunday. We pray for our pastor that you would use him. Have your way in that.